listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, how the Flint water crisis brought transparency back to water politics.
Flint's not the first community to struggle with high water bills or water contamination problems or not being able to trust their drinking water quality.
But first, why is being selfish so villainized in society?
We're kind of taught to always help others and never to think about yourself. And I think that's terrible advice.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
You and your money are outside again, because new McValue at McDonald's gets you more than you expect. Buy a sausage burrito and add a sausage McMuffin for just a dollar. Go ahead, money. Get more than you expect with new McValue. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
The Radio Health Journal podcast.
People keep looking outside themselves to the universe or for some external magic that's going to change their lives. The power that they have in their own minds is far beyond what they can ever imagine.
Available wherever you get your podcasts and at radiohealthjournal.org.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Light a candle, pour some wine. Grab a roll, the soft kind for a little me time. Charmin Ultra Soft Smooth Tear. Wavy edges for my rear. So let the softness caress your soul. Just relax, you're on a roll. Let her rip. Charmin Ultra Soft Smooth Tear.
Charmin Ultra Soft Smooth Tear has the same softness you love. Now with wavy edges that tear better than the leading one-ply brand. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
We're taught from a young age to share our toys and not be selfish. As we mature, we learn that being kind means putting the needs of others before ourselves. But is kindness always the right answer, or can selfishness sometimes be the healthiest option?
The connotation of the word selfishness is that it's just inherently bad, like we shouldn't be selfish. We're kind of taught to always help others and never to think about yourself. And I think that's terrible advice.
That's Dr. Scott Kaufman, a cognitive scientist and host of the Psychology Podcast. He says that while many of us consider selfishness to always be a negative trait, there are forms of healthy selfishness. And just as we can't automatically assume all acts of self-interest are inherently bad, Kaufman says not all acts of kindness are inherently good.
We can really help people in an intrusive way, in a way that is not really helping them in the way that they really need. In a lot of ways, it's helping our own ego. You can think of the narcissist who is just constantly bragging about how many people they've helped. And you kind of get a flavor that it's like not really coming from a real genuine, like, you're happy you're helping them. You're happy that helping them is helping your ego.
This idea is called pathological altruism, when helping others results in unanticipated harm. In an effort to differentiate between healthy selfishness and pathological altruism, Kaufman began his research, now published in Frontiers in Psychology. He first created a list of motivations of why people decide to help others.
Such as, I generally like to see people learn and grow. I generally love helping others and kind of in a way that's outside of oneself. And then I had a whole bunch of questions that were things like, I like helping people because it makes me feel good about myself. I need to be needed.
Ideas that may be self-centered in nature, but still provide an act of service for others, which is what Kaufman defines as healthy selfishness. Through his research, Kaufman found that these motives related the closest to those of genuine kindness, while the pathological altruistic intentions landed on the unhealthy side of the scale.
And that's very paradoxical. That finding is paradoxical because that's not what we're taught. We're taught that any action that looks altruistic is genuine, and anyone that's like any action that appears to be solely for yourself is not altruistic. And we found that's really flipped it on its head. Some evolutionary psychologists make the case that everything from a genes perspective is selfish. So everything that looks like helping others is selfish, really for our own gene propagation of either survival or reproduction. And I think that's too much of a reductionist view.
But how can we differentiate between healthy and unhealthy selfishness?
For unhealthy selfishness, we kind of operationalize that or define that as a motivation to exploit others for your selfish gain. And we contrasted that with this new scale of healthy selfishness because I wanted to show there are different things. They're very different. They both predict very different things. It's like two completely different people.
In fact, Kaufman says that people whose motivations tend to skew towards unhealthy selfishness aren't actually very good at taking care of themselves. Another way to look at healthy selfishness is to think of setting boundaries. While this act of creating distance from people or habits can seem self-serving, Dr. Pete Loper says it's quite the opposite.
I think that one of the most powerful forms of compassion that any human can provide for another is setting limits. And so we do it with our kids all the time. You know, setting firm boundaries with our children is very, very important to support them in the adaptation of more healthy means relating to other people. And so this idea of healthy selfishness and setting boundaries, for me, I believe it's one of the highest forms of compassion. If you set boundaries with somebody who isn't relating to you in a healthy way, it can really, really support that individual in developing the adaptation or adapting in a manner that helps them support them to relate to people in a more meaningful way moving forward.
Loper is a clinical associate professor of internal medicine at the University of South Carolina. He says that our relationships can be an incredibly powerful factor in our personal growth.
The rate limiting step to healthy human development and adaptation is healthy, meaningful interpersonal interactions. It's really when those relationships become unhealthy that they really start to have a negative impact on our development and our adaptation, our health, our well-being.
Which is why setting boundaries is so important. And though placing limitations on a relationship can look like the beginning of the end, Loper says boundaries can actually help strengthen and grow that connection.
What you're doing with setting those boundaries is you're creating a noxious stimuli. And what happens with not human beings develop in the context of distress, it's adversity and distress. If we're not experiencing adversity or distress, we're not developing. So what you're doing is you're creating some adversity and some distress in the relationship by setting that boundary. Thereby, you're supporting the adaptive problem solving of the person you're relating to and your own adaptive problem solving. So collectively, you're able to develop and adapt a more healthy, meaningful relationship and engage that relational process, that the development of that relationship in what would be deemed transformational change.
Meaning that both parties learn how to interact in a healthier way. Being able to set boundaries is the first question on Kaufman's healthy selfishness scale. The other topics also revolve around self-care, which is most often achieved by prioritizing your life. Loper says that when we become overwhelmed with the needs of others, the boundaries being crossed are usually violations of our time and emotions.
We oftentimes are externally oriented. We're really focused on our external environment, but we are really creatures that are informed by our internal experience. And so if you're in a relationship whereby you're constantly feeling uncomfortable, distressed, negative in terms of those interactions with that other individual, and you're having those feelings, that internal experience of what would be deemed quote unquote negative emotions with consistency and engaging with this individual, that would be a red flag that perhaps there is the need for some boundary setting.
Unfortunately, setting boundaries has only gotten more difficult with the rise of technology. The digital era has created an illusion that we have an all-access pass to talk to anyone at any time.
I'm sitting here having my phone on silent because if I don't, I'm going to get an email, I'm going to get a text message, you know, somebody's going to call me. And so the fact that we are accessible constantly throughout the course of our day really sets us up for, you know, puts us at risk for these boundary violations as it relates to our time.
He believes that healthy relationships require each individual to first take care of their own needs before focusing on others.
It's the same rule in the airplane. You put your own oxygen mask on first. And I think we oftentimes lose sight of that, right? We're scrambling, trying to put everybody else's oxygen mask on. And at the end of the day, we're just absolutely exhausted. So those are some circumstances that would really illustrate some potential for setting firm limits and engaging with people to make sure that they're aware that your time is of value and also your emotional energy is of value.
Whether it's with a family member, a friend, or a coworker, setting boundaries can be uncomfortable. Loper says the best approach is to always be direct.
Be kind and be honest. And if they truly care about you, and if they're somebody worth having in your life, then they're going to acknowledge that. They may defend initially. They may trigger. They may act out. They may, you know, get upset or offended. But if you give them space then to be able to process those feelings, if it's a relationship worth having, they'll come back to you and they'll apologize. They'll engage with you in a meaningful way. And that's how you are able to reset that standard of reciprocity, right? We're back now to a give and take, two-directional, bi-directional relationship.
And if at first the other party refuses to respect your boundaries, Loper says consistency is key. You have to become comfortable with the word no.
If after being direct and being honest and being kind in terms of your engagement and explanation of why you're setting these boundaries and what those boundaries are going to need to be, if those boundaries are not respected and there's consistent boundary violations, then one of the most compassionate things you can do for yourself, but also bidirectionally for that other person, is to say no. And at the end of the day, that may be what you're left with, is consistency in saying no.
Loper says one of the best strategies to stay strong and consistent is to cling to your personal values.
What are the things that are of most value to you? Is it time spent together with your core family? Is it time spent together with your core family plus, you know, your in-laws or whatever the case may be? But have a clear sense of what those values are so that you can be consistent, not just in saying no in times of boundary violation, but in terms of saying yes to other opportunities whereby you may be able to engage in a meaningful way with those values and adhering to those values.
And boundaries aren't always because someone else is crossing a line. Maybe you've recognized some personal habits that no longer serve your life or relationships. Kaufman believes confronting those thoughts head on is the best path for personal growth.
There's great benefit to being really brutally honest with yourself. And that's why in my book, Transcend, I have like lots of questionnaires, including like narcissism questionnaires. And, you know, like my publisher's like, that's not very uplifting, but I don't do it in a way that I want to shame people. Actually, quite the opposite. I think shame is a really unnecessary emotion in our human. If there's one emotion in the whole human gene pool that I'd be happy to take away, that'd be a shame, because it's not productive. Instead, self-insight is a great route to change and growth.
You can find more information about Drs. Scott Kaufman and Pete Loper on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. This segment originally aired in December 2022. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Are you feeling sluggish or weighed down? Could be a sign your digestive system isn't at its best. Take the Metamucil 2-Week Challenge to feel lighter and more energetic by supporting digestive health. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Coming up, does everyone have a right to safe drinking water? When Radio Health Journal returns.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Sherry Shepherd here to talk about Black health. You know what I love about us? Everything. From science to the arts, we are leading the way. But we are falling behind in getting vaccinated. Pneumococcal vaccination rates are lower among Black adults than white adults. If you're 50 or older, you're at a greater risk of getting pneumococcal pneumonia. And the CDC recommends vaccination. If you're 19 or older with diabetes like me, you're also at increased risk. Let's continue owning our own healthcare and leading the way in vaccination rates too. Learn more and schedule at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
With the end of the presidential election cycle, many of us are sure to be burnt out on the constant stream of political conversations. Taxes, immigration, and healthcare are all prominent topics that have been the focal point of countless campaigns. And while they have a great impact on Americans, there's another issue that's often overlooked, but hits equally close to home: water politics.
Water is a resource, a service that we all rely on in some way. And there's a whole network of policies in place to make sure, or decide anyway, who gets what amount of water, at what quality, at what cost.
That's Sarah Hughes, a senior policy researcher at RAND, a nonprofit global policy think tank. Her recent work focuses on U.S. and global water policy. There are a lot of decisions that get made before water ever makes it out of our tap at home, like the supply source or the investments in water infrastructure.
These are decisions the policymakers are making that communities are impacted by. And so these are places where politics play out, too, where there's different interests at play, different resources that are brought to bear on trying to shape the outcome.
An outcome that can greatly affect our health and environment. However, water politics are often invisible to the public, at least until catastrophe strikes.
The Flynn case is a great example of this, right? Where this fairly innocuous service of drinking water became this crux point of state, local, federal politics, right? This pipeline and these treatment processes and the standards and who gave the green light and, you know, making all these decisions, sometimes driven by science, sometimes driven by economics, right? We need to cut costs. Sometimes driven by regional politics. We want to be the decision makers. And so I think that's what these events also kind of help highlight, is that these aren't just kind of technical exercises. They're political in a lot of the same ways that we might think of other kinds of policy areas being political.
In 2014, Flint, Michigan garnered national attention for its contaminated drinking water that led to at least 13 deaths from the bacteria. The city had experienced financial troubles in the years leading up to this crisis and had been placed under emergency management appointed by the state. To help save money, the new manager decided to disconnect Flint from the Detroit Water and Sewage Department and build their own pipeline to funnel in the city's drinking water.
The problem was that there was this gap in time between when this new pipeline would be built and the present. And I think by then, you know, my sense is that by then people were kind of decided, you know, we're kind of done with this Detroit system. We want out. And so instead of staying with the Detroit system until the new pipeline was built, they decided, largely led by this emergency manager, but also, you know, the city council's kind of coming along for the ride, but they decided that they would switch to the Flint River as their water source in the interim.
Which there was precedent for. Decades prior, the city had used the river as its water source. However, the water treatment plant had been sitting vacant for years, and the river hadn't been used as a drinking water source for just as long. The water wasn't treated properly and corroded the distribution pipes, which allowed lead to seep into the city's drinking water. Since the water never met federal standards, wouldn't you think that there would be fail-safes to make sure it doesn't get out to the residents? Sadly, Hughes says there's often a gap in how policy should work and how it's actually implemented.
I think part of the problem, and this is where I really think some of the lessons of Flint's experience come in, but it's this really big onion almost of a policy problem, is that the way the actual regulations and standards are designed for drinking water are actually like fairly complex and not, I think, sometimes how we think they are. Like, I think we think that, for example, the water that comes out of our tap is what we're really managing for. And in a way we are, but all the decision-making and regulation happens at the drinking water treatment plant.
Though lead pipes were outlawed in 1986, the EPA estimates that more than 9 million lead service lines still distribute water across the nation. Instead of changing the pipes, the treatment plants try to account for the contaminants that'll leach into the water as it travels by adding in chemicals that slow or prevent pipe corrosion.
That corrosion control standard is then supposed to mitigate the lead leaching issue. And so if it does or does not, you know, then there's like a testing process to see if it is actually working. The utility is supposed to go out and like actually test the water in different parts of the city to see if the corrosion control is working. But that's, you know, it's like, that's what I mean by an onion. Then it's sort of like, then you get into what those testing protocols look like and the sampling protocols, and if they're testing in the right places at the right times, and if they're flushing before they test. It's sort of like there's so many layers to the process. And if any one of them starts to get out of whack, the whole system is off.
Hughes says the city's rush to get the new water distribution system up and running most likely created an environment where corners were cut in favor of speed.
I think the fact that there's not always this kind of like hard and fast go, no go rule, it makes it possible anyway to let the water out and kind of see what happens.
Though it seems irresponsible to take such a gamble when risking the health of the residents, Hughes says it was made possible through the fact that before Flint, much of water politics was invisible to the public. Thankfully, her recently published paper in the journal The Forum shows how Flint's water crisis has brought water politics to the public's attention.
Flint's not the first community to struggle with high water bills or water contamination problems or not being able to trust their drinking water quality, right? Like, some of these problems have been around for a while, And we've been studying them, and a lot of my colleagues have been really focused on these, but it's been tough to raise these issues to the level of, you know, national attention that they have now. And so I think that's a lot of what Flint's experience did too, is kind of make visible some of the issues that have been going on in communities already too, and kind of say, you know, it's not just Flint either, or, you know, this is a symptom of a larger problem maybe, and start having that conversation.
The first steps to improve America's drinking water came in the 1970s. Various laws were passed that led to a large federal investment in water infrastructure, like pipes and treatment plants. 63% of total federal spending went towards this effort. However, the hype quickly died down, and the initial 63% was reduced to just 9% by 2017. The states were tasked with maintaining the original infrastructure, but many have been slow to action. Additionally, the normal wear and tear of these structures after decades of use means that we'll need to reinvest in new infrastructure soon. Thankfully, a 2021 bipartisan infrastructure law contributed $50 billion towards this goal, the largest investment in U.S. water infrastructure in American history. Hughes believes the greatest improvement to come of this will be removing the existing lead service pipes.
To me, that's the biggest win, because there's just no reason for us to have lead pipes and have our drinking water go through lead pipes at this point. And so the fact that that's, and, you know, people run the numbers. I know that the funding in BIL is not enough to replace all the lead service lines in the U.S., but it's a start. There's a framework. There's a requirement. It's at least put the attention on to it in a new way. And I think prioritizing the solution of removal, as opposed to, I think for a while there was talk of new treatment guidelines and testing guidelines, and those are in place too. But I just think having removal as the preferred solution is a big win, and that's where we have to keep moving.
Community advocacy groups have played a huge part in creating these visible changes and keeping them front and center in society. If you're looking to add your voice to the case, reach out to your local drinking water organization. You can find more information about Sarah Hughes and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
If you're frustrated with occasional bloating and gas, your body is giving you signs. It's time to try Align. Align Probiotic was specifically designed by gastroenterologists to help relieve your occasional bloating and gas. When you feel the signs, it's time to try Align.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Can your pad absorb everything and stay fresh? Always Radiant with Flex Foam can. Get up to zero leaks, zero odor, and zero feel. Because Flex Foam is the only pad with a flexible foam core. You heard me, foam. Always Radiant is so thin, it feels like nothing, yet protects like nothing else. Can your pad do that? For up to 100% leak-free protection, try Always Radiant to see what Flex Foam can do for you.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a colonial with high ceilings, hardwood floors, in a peaceful neighborhood. And you found it. Now, every Saturday at 6 a.m., you get to wake to the sound of your neighbor's leaf blower. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Imagine a world where animals and humans coexist in harmony, where wild animals thrive, habitats are protected, and marginalized communities are empowered. At International Animal Rescue, this is our vision. Our holistic, community-led projects not only rescue animals, but also protect and replenish precious habitats, creating a better future for us all. But we can't do this without you. Show your support now and help keep the wild wild. Visit internationalanimalrescue.org.
After you use Bounce Dryer Sheets and realize how fresh, soft, less wrinkled, and less staticky your laundry can be, you'll
put a sheet on him
every time. Like those socks that smell like they've been through a marathon.
Put a sheet on him.
Or that blanket that's got wrinkles on its wrinkles.
Put a sheet on him.
Maybe even your chatty coworker who keeps distracting you. Okay, bounce dryer sheets can't do it all. But for fresher, softer, better laundry,
put a sheet on it with Bounce!
Medical notes this week. Your bad mood is probably connected to your sleep. Surprisingly, even a good night's rest can result in irritation during the day. Research shows that if your sleep cycle isn't aligned with your internal clock, it drastically affects mood. Thankfully, the opposite is also true, meaning that you have control over waking up on the right side of the bed. The study is published in the journal NPJ Digital Medicine. Need surgery? Over-the-counter medication may be your best option for pain management. New research in the Journal of the American Dental Association compared the effectiveness of different drugs after wisdom teeth extractions. The results reveal that a combination of ibuprofen and acetaminophen made participants feel better than an opioid combination. This finding allows patients to receive better pain relief while reducing the risk of opioid addiction. The hidden risks of kidney disease. Infections are a major cause of death for people with kidney disease, and new research reveals exactly why. A study in Nature Communications shows that the illness kills off B cells, which are the white blood cells that kill microbes. With reduced numbers of these immune cells, patients are unable to fight off viruses like the flu. And finally, shortened winter days may be better for our health. A mouse study in cell metabolism shows that mice that followed winter light hours had less body weight gain and more rhythmic eating habits. This led to better overall metabolic health in the animals. This research could help reveal a deeper understanding of human hunger pathways and cravings. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Again, Sent Bead Story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard... His ear said, Maraca, senor. But his nose said, hey, freshest scent ever. Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain Scent Beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, sir, your scent Maraca smell amazing. Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain Scent Beads. Try Gain Scent Beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content, and tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Right now at Wendy's, get two of these fave items for just $7. The spicier classic chicken sandwich, Dave's single, or 10-piece nugs. It's an incredible deal, but an insanely difficult choice. Do you go double chicky sando, both spicy and classic, one beefy and one chicky? Or maybe you go all in on one and go nug max. Two faves for just $7? Gotta be Wendy's.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time only, select a request two for $7 deal to redeem. Not valid in a combo or with saucy nugs. Single item at a regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Never-Clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a wintry mix of some light rain, snow, perhaps even a little freezing rain in spots. Clouds at upper 30s for this afternoon as a west wind develops. Snow will be likely for tonight. Lows of the lower teens, accumulations under an inch. Currently 23 degrees.
This week on Viewpoints.
I actually stopped buying bottles because I was so embarrassed by how much I was drinking. So I would buy boxes of wine so I wouldn't know how much I was drinking.
She was a corporate success, but behind closed doors, she was drinking around 10 glasses of wine a day. Then...
it can cost you $100,000 over the course of your life to not have access to this education.
How to set your kids up for financial success. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Imagine a world where animals and humans coexist in harmony, where wild animals thrive, habitats are protected, and marginalized communities are empowered. At International Animal Rescue, this is our vision. Our holistic, community-led projects not only rescue animals, but also protect and replenish precious habitats, creating a better future for us all. But we can't do this without you. Show your support now and help keep the wild wild. Visit internationalanimalrescue.org.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time and skip the regular line at the airport and pay for speedy security. Imagine not having to quickly unpack and pack at the place you already came packed to. And wearing your shoes the whole time you're there? You can't put a price on that kind of luxury. Well, actually you can, and you paid for it. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For speedy security. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Did you start off the year by doing Dry January? For many Americans, it's a yearly ritual to abstain from alcohol for an entire month. It's a refreshing way to kick off the new year and reset after a not-so-healthy holiday season. For some, this period can also be a wake-up call by exposing how alcohol impacts the body and mind. For author Anne Grace, this reliance spanned decades and went unchecked until she hit rock bottom. For her, booze was always a way to blow off steam, unwind, celebrate, and socialize.
When I started to question my drinking, I actually ended up drinking more, not less, over time, because as I started to question it, I thought, oh, this is going to be easy to just cut back. But it didn't turn out to be all that easy to just cut back, because I really believed all of the things I believed about alcohol, that it relaxed me, that it helped me loosen up.
Today, Grace has a healthy relationship with alcohol and is the author of the book, This Naked Mind: Control Alcohol, Find Freedom, Discover Happiness, and Change Your Life. However, where she is today didn't come easy. For many years, she felt out of control and couldn't find a way out. It all began in her early 20s when she started drinking socially at work. She'd just graduated from college and moved to New York City to work full-time in corporate marketing.
I was told by my boss that the happy hour was kind of like the golf course. It was where the deals were done. It was where people got to know your name. It was where your career was made or lost. And so even though I didn't drink, I better start showing up to happy hour and learn how. And I did. I actually made it a mission to sort of learn how to drink.
Excessive alcohol use is still very common in the U.S. According to a Pew Research study in 2022, of the 137 million Americans who reported drinking in the last month, nearly half said they commonly binge drink. For men, this means consuming five or more drinks in a sitting, and for women, it's four. It's well studied that this kind of consumption over time increases the risk of cancer, heart disease, depression, and other health issues. For Grace, she was well aware of these risks, but couldn't stop. She rationalized her excessive drinking by setting some ground rules. She'd usually avoid hard liquor and would instead opt for red wine because that, in her mind, was healthier. But it doesn't matter whether it's wine, cocktails, or beer, it's the alcohol that causes the harm and not the beverage. However, to Grace, these drinks were a tool to her success. In her eyes, it's what made her funnier, smarter, more relaxed, and so on.
The interesting thing about alcohol is that over time, all of the other sort of coping mechanisms I had to just be human, like exercise or getting together with friends, they all kind of started to evolve or were replaced by alcohol. And so fast forward a decade, I'd done what I set out to. I became incredibly successful corporately, but I was also drinking about two bottles of wine every single night.
She eventually switched to buying boxed wine because she grew embarrassed by how many bottles she'd accumulate over a week. It wasn't until an overseas trip to Europe that she hit a breaking point.
I was flying home from the UK. I had been super drunk the night before. I had gotten up and I went into the hotel restaurant to get a drink on my way to the airport at 6 a.m. I thought I would have a mimosa, which was okay for a morning drink. And I went in there and I ordered a mimosa, and she said that it was too early for her to open the champagne. So she offered me a screwdriver, which was vodka and orange juice. And drinking hard alcohol in the mornings was one of those little lines that I wouldn't cross. And I thought, if I don't cross this line, then I'm still okay. But I felt very desperate this morning to just feel better. And I had a few before I got to the airport.
After these 6 a.m. cocktails, she felt overwhelming guilt and ashamed of the person in the mirror.
I was sitting in the terminal waiting for my plane, and I just started crying. And I started asking myself the questions that I had been asking myself for years now, which is, what is my problem? Do I have a problem? Am I an alcoholic? What's wrong with me? And those questions were just so incredibly painful. And in this one moment, I actually got a different question. And the question was, why? Why did I used to be able to take it or leave it and it be no big deal? But now all of a sudden, it was that if I wasn't drinking, I would feel I could do it, but I'd feel like I was missing out. I would feel sad. I would feel upset. I would feel just kind of outside of life. And I started asking why.
The first step to lasting change meant sitting in this question. She began writing down all of the reasons why she drank and also asked other friends why they drank. For instance, she wrote down that wine made her feel relaxed. While that was her perception, was it actually true? She set out to research and work through these whys.
We live in this great day and age where you can just download a study and you can find out what is true. And so I started methodically going through each of these reasons, and one by one, they started falling like dominoes. All of these things that I believed about alcohol, that it relaxed me, it doesn't relax you. It actually increases the cortisol response in the body, or that it made me happy. It doesn't make you happy. In fact, the cumulative effect of alcohol is to make you less susceptible to pleasure or joy. And you actually need it in order to feel pleasure or joy because of how it's numbed your pleasure centers in your brain. And I would learn this stuff over and over. And all of a sudden, over this like process, my desire for drinking literally went away. I had rewired my mind and my thoughts and my beliefs.
It's been 10 years since this shift. Today, she doesn't completely restrict herself from alcohol, but no longer feels an internal drive or desire to drink. Looking back now, she wishes she'd been more compassionate to her former self.
When we get into this conflict internally about how much should I drink, when should I drink, how much is too much, I'm beating myself up because I didn't stick to my limits, all of that kind of narrative makes the problem worse because we create that internal pain and then we drink to numb out that internal pain. And I think the more effective approach is to actually let yourself off the hook in a really major way and start to get incredibly curious about why you're doing it in the first place. And it's actually curiosity that I believe is the key to, you know, what the trap we found ourselves in. When we get curious about our drinking and we start to look at our drinking and think, okay, is this actually relaxing me? Do I actually feel better after this? Why am I drinking it? Is it helping me in the ways I thought? And do that really gently with a lot of self-compassion. Then we start to like wake up to our own wisdom about what's right for us instead of having to adhere to anyone else's rules for us or even our own rules for ourselves.
All of these emotions, whether it's letting go of guilt or building more self-love, is a process. Even if you single out the whys and debunk each reason, there will be days where the whys will fly out the door. And that's okay. What's important is to learn from these mistakes.
I think just treating every single experience with drinking as an experiment, meaning you go into it, you have an intention, a hypothesis, right? Like, I'm going to try to only have one tonight. You don't have one, you have three. Don't beat yourself up about it. Don't get down on yourself about it. Just look at, okay, what was happening? Why did I have three? Why did I feel this way? What was going on with me? And looking at all of this as an experiment, just an experiment of you without shame and without blame. And I think that level of awareness, it's a lot like if you were, you know, just there's studies that show if you just track your food, you end up eating healthier, right? It's just bringing that level of awareness to the behavior, and that behavior can end up changing in a really natural way and a painless way. But usually with alcohol, we don't do that because we're so embroiled in shame about our behavior.
Grace reminds listeners that every journey is different and that progress isn't always linear. If you or someone you know is struggling with alcohol, there's help out there. If you need help right away, call or text 988. You can also call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration hotline, a free 24/7 service, at 1-800-662-4357. Alcoholics Anonymous is also a trusted longtime resource. Find more information about AA by visiting aa.org or heading to our website at viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written and produced by Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, should money management be mandatory in schools? When Viewpoints returns.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Again, sent bead story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard his ear said, "Maracas, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain Scent Beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent maracas smell amazing." "Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain Scent Beads. Try Gain Scent Beads, way fresher than detergent alone."
Okay, I have to tell you, I was just looking on eBay where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Sherry Shepherd here to talk about Black health. You know what I love about us? Everything. From science to the arts, we are leading the way. But we are falling behind in getting vaccinated. Pneumococcal vaccination rates are lower among Black adults than white adults. If you're 50 or older, you're at a greater risk of getting pneumococcal pneumonia. And the CDC recommends vaccination. If you're 19 or older with diabetes like me, you're also at increased risk. Let's continue owning our own healthcare and leading the way in vaccination rates too. Learn more and schedule at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
If you attended high school in the U.S., you probably remember taking classes in subjects such as algebra, English, or biology. Like it or not, these courses are considered essential and must be taught to all students. Though the core curriculum in American high schools has been pretty standard for decades, some advocates are making the case for a new addition, personal financial education. Experts like Carly Urban, a professor of economics at Montana State University, believe that these courses are just as critical to a child's future as regular doctor's visits are to your health.
Schools are really the last place that we know where everyone is. So it's really hard to improve adult financial education. People are everywhere. Not everyone is even in the workforce, so we can't do like workplace financial education. Not everybody goes to college. And there's a lot of financial traps out there, especially for young people gaining their financial independence. And if you don't necessarily have the skills and tools to navigate all of the sharks in the water, then you're going to have a lot of trouble swimming.
For some, high school can be a time of many money lessons, whether it's earning your first paycheck, buying your first car, or figuring out how to pay for college. It can feel like there's little to no financial guidance if you don't come from a family where money is discussed. These prime years are a great time to make those early mistakes before stepping out into the real world.
What people have really started to look at more recently is what happens when a state requires everyone has personal finance education before students graduate. And that research has really clear implications where credit and debt behaviors improve, right? So that means credit scores go up through at least age 22. Some research finds up to age 30. People are less likely to borrow with payday loans, which we know are like a horrible debt trap and really hard to kind of get out of that cycle of.
And Urban says students who've taken a personal financial education class tend to make smarter decisions about student loans, too. But while most of the positive impacts don't show up until years later, other effects are more immediate. Yanelli Espinal, Director of Educational Outreach at Next Gen Personal Finance, says this course can help teenagers better understand the financial decisions their parents and family members make.
The short-term benefits are just increased engagement. Like, they just get engaged. They get hooked. They start paying attention more at home. They're like, oh, look at the budget that we spent on groceries. Like, and then they're just more conscious of the spending that they're doing, the things that they're asking their parents for. Like, maybe it's not realistic for my mom to get me a new pair of Jordans every time I ask her, but like, I'm not thinking about that if I'm not really considering the financial implications or, you know, my mom's like other financial responsibilities besides me. So this class can make kids a lot more thoughtful and a lot more engaged in their home, as well as in their family's financial situation.
Right now, only 26 states require public schools to teach a semester of personal financial education. In the other 24, it's either not offered or only available as an elective. The reality is that many public schools are stretched thin and have limited funding and resources to provide everything students need. Despite this, Urban has seen many schools in non-required states step up and rise to the challenge.
The short answer is that schools have a lot going on. They're trying to do many things at once with small budgets sometimes. And I think we have seen a ton of momentum over the last decade. There's only actually about 6% of students in the U.S. right now that are in schools that have absolutely no personal finance content whatsoever. So no elective, no requirement, not in another class, like not at all. And that's actually quite low. So that's kind of encouraging to me that, you know, maybe we're in the right direction.
However, having personal finance classes in schools is just one part of the equation. The curriculum within these classes is equally as important. In consumer or home economics classes of the past, much of the focus was on skills like balancing a checkbook, budgeting, or saving for retirement. Those are all still important, but they might not feel as relevant or engaging in today's world.
They're much more comfortable with banking digitally, online banking and mobile banking, to be specific, right? Most of them are doing things from their phone, transferring payments using peer-to-peer payment apps. And so the focus is much more on technology and how it plays a role in the day-to-day managing of money, teaching students about online banking, teaching them about high-yield savings accounts that are online, teaching them about the apps, how to know if you can trust certain apps and how to know which apps that look shady that you should not trust to put your bank information into there.
According to a report by Next Gen Personal Finance, completing just one semester of personal finance education can provide a lifetime benefit of roughly $100,000 per person. For parents wanting their kids to get this head start, or for students eager to learn, Espinal encourages reaching out to your state's lawmakers. By urging your local government to prioritize financial literacy, we can push more states to make these courses mandatory.
Reach out to your local lawmakers. Find out who are the members of the House Education Committee in your state and the Senate Education Committee in your state. This is stuff you could literally just do a web search. You could Google search Education Committee, Senate, Education Committee, House, and the name of your state, and you'll find out exactly which lawmakers are sitting on those committees. You find their emails, which again is all public information, or you can even tweet at them. You can tag them on social media. You can email them or write letters to their office. Even call their offices if you've got time, you know, but just to let them know that you're looking at what the education committee is doing And you're not really seeing an emphasis and a priority on financial literacy education. And that's something that you think they should focus on and that you want to see them focus on. And that you as a constituent who lives there in their zip code that they represent, you care about this deeply.
In the meantime, Urban offers advice on how parents can teach kids quick money lessons.
If parents want to talk to their kids about money more, the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau actually has a whole division of financial education, and they have like the building blocks, they call it, for like what you can learn at different ages and actually soak up. So when you're younger, you can learn things like, if I eat all my cupcakes today, I won't have any cupcakes for my birthday party tomorrow. But when you're older, you can learn more about like how to do research, how to budget, how to, you know, make these more complicated financial decisions. But you want to be really careful where you don't want to bring your kids into every single one of your financial stresses and like kind of pass along your trauma that you've maybe taken in from your parents and their parents and so on and so forth. So you don't want it to be like this awful, stressful thing. You want it to be like, hey, this is something we can accomplish and money can, you know, provide us this great tool.
To find out more about Carly Urban, Yanelli Espinal, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galanti. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Can your pad absorb everything and stay fresh? Always Radiant with Flex Foam can. Get up to zero leaks, zero odor, and zero feel. Because Flex Foam is the only pad with a flexible foam core. You heard me, foam. Always Radiant is so thin, it feels like nothing, yet protects like nothing else. Can your pad do that? For up to 100% leak-free protection, try Always Radiant to see what Flex Foam can do for you.
Whoa, it's you, the Capital One Bank guy.
That's what they call me.
Mind if I get a selfie?
Yeah, sure thing. Say no fees or minimums on your Capital One checking account.
Wow, that's a keeper. So, where are you heading?
I'm off to spread the good news that Capital One helps people keep more money in their wallet with no overdraft fees.
Oh, you're the best Capital One Bank guy.
Hey, mind if I get a selfie?
Sure.
Say, Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. For many, a new year means a new list of spots to visit. If you plan to travel, whether it's domestically or internationally, here are some updated rules to keep in mind. Starting May 7th, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security will enforce the use of Real ID for boarding domestic flights and entering some federal buildings. A Real ID doesn't replace a passport for international travel, but you should check your local DMV for more information on how to apply before the May 7th deadline. If you're planning to travel to the UK, there's new restrictions. Electronic travel authorization registration will now be required for all inbound visitors. This allows officials to screen people before arrival, improving security and reducing wait times at border entry. The ETA is not a visa, and the online application costs about $13. Once issued, it's automatically linked to your passport and is valid for 2 years. Finally, the European Union's European Travel Information and Authorization System is expected to start in May. U.S. passport holders who've previously visited the continent without a visa will need to apply for authorization online before their next visit to any of the 30 participating countries. A full list can be found online. This approval is good for 3 years and allows travelers to enter these countries multiple times for short-term stays. Before your trip, make sure to always visit official government travel websites to get the most up-to-date information. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. When director David Lynch died on January 15th, there was a deep mourning and appreciation for his work present all across the movie-loving world and internet. From his first feature-length film, 1977's Eraserhead, through his swan song, 2017's Twin Peaks The Return, a third and final season of the beloved show he co-created with Mark Frost, David Lynch spent his career baffling and inspiring audiences. Known for his surrealism, appreciation of Americana, and embrace of the uncanny, David Lynch truly was a one-of-one artist. Among his most celebrated works are Blue Velvet, a 1986 noir film starring Kyle MacLachlan, Laura Dern, and Dennis Hopper, as well as Mulholland Drive, a 2001 neo-noir mystery starring Naomi Watts and Justin Theroux. In all of his work, Lynch prioritized the audience's emotional understanding above their actual plot-point-to-plot-point comprehension of every little detail. Famously, his movies and TV shows are described as dreamlike, and his style is so particular and so frequently imitated that the term Lynchian was coined to describe his specific combination of surrealism and dream logic. Lynch was unafraid to let his sounds and visuals speak for themselves, and he's famous for refusing to explain what certain elements mean. One of my favorite moments of Lynch came when he explained why that is. As soon as you finish a film, people want you to talk about it, he said. The film is the talking. Lucky for the rest of us, Lynch's films and TV shows have done plenty of talking on his behalf, and they will continue to, even after his death. David Lynch was 78. I'm Evan Rook.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more cents. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
Thank you.
same.